For Jews, Christians, and Muslims, Jerusalem is seen as a holy city. And yesterday, President Trump made the controversial decision to recognize it as the capital of Israel. It's a break from a long U.S. policy toward Jerusalem, but Trump said the decision was a departure from failed policy. Here's the president.
I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering.
The decision hasn't gone over well with many leaders in the Middle East and in Europe. Nahal Tusi is a foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. Nahal, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what was the reasoning the president gave for changing this policy and officially recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital?
Well, the reasoning he gave was, you know, he wants to kind of think outside the box on the peace process. He feels like this is something that is a reality on the ground, that Jerusalem effectively is Israel's capital. And he just said, look, I just feel like we should just take this stand. And he really genuinely, well, he says he believes that it's not going to hurt the peace process. Now, there's another side to this, which he's not necessarily saying, but he is alluding to, which is that he made this a campaign promise. It's a big issue for many of his supporters and his base, and he wants to score a win for them. So politically, on the domestic front, this is good for him. Internationally, not so much.
Let's talk about the international reaction and then come back to the domestic side of things. Positive responses from some leaders in Israel. How about beyond that?
Basically, largely a negative from just about everywhere, even China, that they didn't think this was a good idea. You know, the Europeans, others say that this is an issue that should be dealt with in negotiations. It's a very sensitive thing. Both Palestinians and Israelis claim the city. But, you know, so this is not, you know, it's not something that's been very positive for the president. But at the same time, this isn't something that's unusual for President Trump. You know, he's taken a number of stances that have been unpopular internationally, including not being supportive of the Iran deal, the Iran nuclear deal, and also, you know, backing out of the Paris Climate Agreement, which every other country has signed up.
And looking at the conflict over Jerusalem here, as you mentioned, both Palestinians and Israelis claim it. In some ways, they both have claimed it as their capital, right?
Correct. And, you know, there's some questions about whether the Palestinians really just want East Jerusalem, which is where a large Palestinian population lives, and whether the Israelis would be willing to settle for West Jerusalem, which they've said that they won't. They consider Jerusalem their undivided and eternal capital. Now, you know, when President Trump was talking about it, one thing that was really interesting was he kept saying that he understands that the borders are still subject to negotiations and that he respects that. And he didn't use the word the undivided capital of Jerusalem. So that leaves some room, perhaps, for the possibility that down the line the Palestinians can convince him that they should have East Jerusalem at the very least.
A little wiggle room there. And the other question was, what about the American embassy currently, like most embassies in Tel Aviv? What did he have to say about the idea of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem or promoting the consulate in Jerusalem to be the main embassy?
He said that he's asked the State Department to start preparations for a move. They don't want to simply upgrade the sign at the consulate. They say that they want to have a new site, a new location. But that means it's going to take several years get that done. So in a way, he's sort of punted. It's not an immediate thing. He's gone ahead and signed a waiver that allows the embassy to continue to stay in Tel Aviv for now under a congressional law from 1995, and he's going to have to keep doing that every 6 months. But technically, the State Department is supposed to be preparing plans, presumably like an architectural plan and security plans and all sorts of other stuff for a move in a few years.
You mentioned here in the U.S. domestic support among many to do this, to move the our recognition of the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Can you talk about who in the United States has been pulling for that?
Well, there are a lot of Orthodox Jewish folks on the right side of the spectrum who support this, as well as evangelical Christians who view Israel as a major cause for them as well. So they think this is a great thing. It's, you know, caused divisions within the Jewish community overall, however, as well as within the Christian community overall. And, of course, a lot of unhappiness in the Muslim community in the U.S. and around the world, which just sees this as kind of a slap in the face to the Palestinians.
We're talking to Nihal Tusi from Politico, talking about President Trump's announcement yesterday recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and some of the controversy around that. And Nihal, let's talk about where this fits into the peace process. President Trump's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, is the point person for trying to work on negotiations between Israel and Palestinians and other countries in the region. How does this affect how especially the Palestinians and Muslim countries in the Middle East look at this process and the U.S. as a mediator?
Well, everybody's been waiting for Jared Kushner and a handful of other White House aides to unveil this peace plan that they're supposedly working on. And, you know, this what Trump just did with Jerusalem would seem to undermine that process. But our understanding is that Jared Kushner is supportive of what Trump just did, and that he believes that ultimately, even though there might be a lot of anger about this right now, perhaps for a few days, not to mention, you know, violence, that he thinks it'll blow over, and that people in the Muslim world, especially Arab leaders, who really want the U.S. and Israel to stand up with them against Iran, might go ahead and view this as an issue that they're willing to just suck up and deal with. And so he's just kind of thinking this is going to blow over and we're going to end up being able to have some sort of a peace deal that ultimately the Palestinians and the Israelis will sign on to. I think if you ask the Palestinians right now, they'll say that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, we've seen some signs of cooperation, as I understand it, between Israel and some of the Sunni Arab states in the region, Saudi Arabia and others, as kind of a informal de facto alliance against the possible expansion of Iran, a Shiite Muslim majority country. Is that maybe one of the ingredients for a peace deal in Israel?
Well, it might be one of the factors that drives Arab countries to recognize certain things that Israel wants. I don't know that Jerusalem is one of those things. It's a very sensitive issue. So far, we've seen pretty much universal condemnation of what Trump just did from the Arab countries, including those that want to stand up against Iran. You know, I think it comes down to, like, who's leading these countries at a particular time. The crown prince of Saudi Arabia, not the king, mind you, but the crown prince, is a very powerful person who will probably be in charge of the country fairly soon. And he seems to care a lot more about Iran than he does about the Palestinian cause.
But looking at internal politics at a country like Saudi Arabia, a lot of people there, I imagine, would not be happy if they perceived their government as selling out the Palestinians, selling out fellow Muslims and an important city like Jerusalem.
That's right. But, you know, it's all about the context, right? Is that if you can tell the population, look, you know, Iran is the bigger threat and we're not totally selling out the Palestinians. And if you can say, look, Trump didn't say that that Jerusalem has to be the undivided capital, you might be able to win your population over. At the same time, this is a monarchy. It's not like the Saudi government necessarily cares what the population thinks about everything. It's not exactly a democracy, so they're just going to kind of do what they want.
Now, moving back to our internal politics here in the United States, this is something, as you mentioned, Jared Kushner and his team are supposed to be coming up with this policy, not Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Can you talk about his role or lack of role in this announcement about Jerusalem and the peace process?
That's right. The policy on Israel and the Palestinians has been largely driven out of the White House by Kushner and a handful of other aides to the president. It's been very secret. And my understanding is that Tillerson, the Secretary of State, has not only been left out, but he's actually really worried about what they're working on. He's concerned that it could cause fissures and lead to an even more chaotic situation in the Middle East. You know, nobody really knows what they're doing, so it's a little too soon to tell, but he has very much been sidelined. That's not to say he doesn't have plenty of other things to deal with, including North Korea, the situation with Qatar, the Iran nuclear deal stuff. But yeah, this is a big issue. This is the type of issue that a lot of secretaries of state kind of want to make their mark on, you know, peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. But frankly, none of them have really had any luck so far. So, you know, if this ends up failing on Kushner's watch, then Tillerson might just be really happy he's not part of it.
Yeah, this, as President Trump mentioned, he's doing this this Jerusalem decision as a departure from the failed policies of the past. And you know, the tensions aren't as high as they have been maybe at this moment between Israel and Palestinians, But as you say, nobody has really succeeded at untying this knot.
That's right. I mean, this is one of the things that's important to keep in mind. It's like, you know, if you want to keep going and doing what people have been doing for the last 60 years, it doesn't seem like they're getting anywhere. And there's like a younger generation, you know, in Israel, but also especially among the Palestinians, who are kind of tired of the old guard and how they have led them to nothing, frankly. And people do want to think outside the box. Now, I don't know if Jerusalem was necessarily the issue you wanted to think outside the box with so early on, but people are hungry for new solutions, for new ways of thinking of things. You know, there are some who say that this whole two-state solution idea, that it doesn't even really have that much resonance anymore among younger Palestinians, who many of whom view it as something that's just never going to happen. And so they're kind of thinking maybe they should go for more of a one-state solution where they struggle for equal rights within Israel. You know, I for one, am very eager to see what Jared Kushner and his colleagues come up with. But, you know, and I think people should stay open-minded, because I do think that the past solutions haven't really worked at all. So why not try something new?
Is there any indication of a timeline for when Jared Kushner and his team are expected to come out with a plan?
I mean, I think probably the safest thing is, you know, in the coming weeks. If this Jerusalem announcement hadn't happened, they might have come out with it, frankly, sooner. But I would probably guess a few weeks, but they don't really loop us in, or
sure,
the State Department for that matter. So they'll tell us when they're ready. And, you know, who knows, they might have decided that they have to delay it for a while once the passions over Jerusalem calm down a bit.
And do you see, I mean, it's still early in this, do you see a passionate response, potentially a violent response coming?
Well, we've already heard of clashes in the West Bank and in Gaza between Palestinians and Israeli security forces, as well as some injuries. Tomorrow is a really important day, though, because it's Friday, and they're going to have demonstrations across the Arab world and across the Muslim world after Friday prayers. And so that's where it really has the potential to get violent. Hamas, the Palestinian militant group, has called for a new intifada, or a new uprising in the region, and a day of rage. And so I think tomorrow is really the key test. But not just tomorrow, but also, like, how long is it going to last? I mean, if it just goes away after a few days, then, you know, Trump and others can say, hey, look, you know what? We got over it. Of course, you know, in the meantime, people might die.
We'll leave it there, Nahal. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Nahal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. She joined us to look at reactions to President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He announced that yesterday.